Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the podcast in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. All the way over there is Chris.
This is me.
And right up close, it's Sarah.
Hey.
How are you, people?
Excellent.
Excellent. Right. Well, the idea, ladies and gentlemen, of commitment can make people feel a little nervy or even boxed in. Whenever we commit to anything, we narrow our options down.
Ooh.
However, many suggest that commitment is one of the most fundamental principles of success and leads to a more fuller life. So then, why is commitment scary?
So I don't think I'm scared of commitment, but
why are you shaking?
I do...
commitment, commitment.
Damn it! I do, you know, I do get a bit uncomfortable sometimes committing to plans.
Right.
Because I have a massive thing about not cancelling plans.
Mm.
But so, and this is probably, this is not a good way around it, but it's what I've come to do quite a lot, is I'll just like hold off saying yes or no for ages. And also I feel really bad about saying no to the plans.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lack of commitment though? As in, like, if you say yes, then you'll do it, won't you?
Yeah. Oh, I am 100% doing it if I've committed to it. Yeah.
But you're still slightly scared of the commitment. There's a reluctance
to
commit.
I will put it off for ages.
Why would you be scared to commit?
Well, because I'm worried that... Sometimes I'm worried that, like, further
down... Give a scenario. What would, like...
Oh, literally, like, any of the... Like, oh...
Surely if a wedding... Someone said wedding...
No, wedding's fine, because that's, like, a serious thing that, like, you know, I want to go to and all that. It's more like, oh, should we, like, organise, I don't know, a girls' weekend away at some point?
Marcus says that frequently.
Macho, yes.
Yeah.
What, a girls' weekend away?
Yeah, every time.
He's always trying to commit to
exactly,
one of those.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like... Oh, I've actually got like loads on at the minute. Like I work loads of weekends and I'm like, oh, I know if I commit to this.
So if the weekend was free, would you still be reluctant to commit or is it a work thing? Are you a bit like, I might be knackered and I just need the weekend on my own?
Yeah, but if I've said yes, I'm going. I'll force myself, even if I don't want to go, I'll go.
Did you say at the start of this, though, that it's the fear of letting others down?
Yeah, so, like, okay, say I...
Because that is a thing. That's, I get that.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
And because I just know that if I really didn't want to go, I just wouldn't be able to say I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, the day before or whatever. I've only ever done it once, I think, in my memory, once in my life. I was supposed to go for a weekend away. It was over an Easter... over the Easter holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just feeling awful. I was so tired and like mentally just really not in a good place. The first time in my life, it was some friends from church. I actually just said,
sod off.
I just
you
said,
pigs.
I'm really not in a good place, guys. I'm not going to come. And they were all great about it. Of course they were great about it.
Of course they were.
I felt so bad because I had committed to going.
Friends, yeah.
But I guess because you
friends. Sorry, Chris.
If you don't do it frequently, then your friends usually are more forgiving, aren't they? But if you do it a lot, then it starts to become really annoying.
I got a friend who is shockingly bad for committing.
Really?
What's to the point of, well, his nickname
is
at
Crickle.
School. That's not a nickname.
That's a
Sarah.
Rubbish nickname.
his nickname at school, not that I knew him at school, because at school he was called Bob, which stood for back out boy.
Oh no,
it's not bad. I didn't know this, but myself, he's a mutual friend of other friends of mine, and we all used to discuss this person saying it's ridiculous, like he'll
you just know he's not gonna be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Awful at committing. He's so flaky, and it's a shame because he's a top lad, he really is. And it's such a good laugh, et cetera, et cetera. And it's such a shame that there's this like constant letting down. And I nearly all but had to pin him against the wall and say, what is this?
Really?
This is something.
Did you confront him about it?
Massively.
Oh, good.
On more than one occasion. But I think this time I was like, I'm not, you are answering my...
You're not escaping the Marcus net.
Exactly. And what a net
it's
it is.
Got a harpoon gun already.
But so hang on. So he'll say, he will commit to something. He'll say, yes, I'll be there. And then back
out. And then cancel.
Yeah, so that...
But
that's
sometimes
what
doesn't
I
even...
Hate, and I don't ever want to be that person.
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah. So really his commitment is not... That he just doesn't
mean
it.
Anything.
Exactly, yeah.
So, and someone's word meaning nothing.
But I think
it's just horrible.
I think though that he has a problem actually committing because he's one of those people. One of the things that holds people back is the idea of their independence being taken away from them. Ooh. And that can be seen. Well, it is. That can be seen on a massive, on a sort of bigger scale or a more poignant area of one's life. So, say with a long-term relationship, for example.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in any of that. Whereas he, I mean, he's been married for years, and that's all grand. But even in little things like I'll be there at 8:30 in the pub or whatever, and then sometimes you would be on your way and you'd think, hang on, and you'd start messaging him,
yeah.
and he would back it. Like, it really bad.
That's so
really
bad.
Poor behavior.
And you know what? That makes like you as a friend feel like you're not worth very much.
Yeah. Sure,
when
yeah.
someone is really like... I think most of my friends on the whole are pretty good, but one of my friends has a friend who is a super flake, and she just reached the point where she was just like, it just feels like she doesn't want to hang out with me.
Yeah,
but it's just because every time we're supposed to meet up, she cancels.
The trouble is with this mate of mine, honestly, like when you're in his company, you almost forget it because he's such a funny, charming
so
bugger.
So what happened when you confronted him?
Well, I said, come on, look. As it says in the good book, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Mm. If you have to cancel or whatever, then fine. But play fairly in that. Don't cancel 5 minutes before you know I've made a 45-minute journey to get there. That's a total piss take.
That's not okay.
Yeah, exactly. And on a Friday or Saturday night where I could have done something
that
else as well.
That's selfish.
I've been turning down offers left, right, and centre.
You're a man in demand.
Well, he actually eventually admitted and said, yeah, I've got a problem here. And then he told me that at school I used to be called Bob, backup boy. Yeah.
Really?
And I said, all right, okay. And so, yeah, he's got a little bit better.
Yeah,
he has got a bit better, but it took a while, and I really was very direct and went.
Well done you for doing that, because often we don't have the courage to do that with our friends because we're worried about upsetting them, aren't we?
Yeah,
but actually, usually it can help someone for you to vocalize it and say your behavior is driving people away or you're losing friendships.
Yeah, especially when, like you said, Marcus, like. He's a great friend and you love having him around.
Yeah.
Like when he actually shows up, you're like, we love having you here. Mm. Just if you're not going to come, just say so from the get go.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is worse when you get the, hey, sorry, I know it's last minute, but I'm not going to make it. Like,
yeah.
That's the worst bit. Cause you're like, as you said, like, oh, I've either organized something. I've been putting effort into meeting up with us.
I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, exactly. And all this.
Well, and then you start calling people like him a commitment phobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not a commitment phobe. He's worked for various jobs and companies for a little while. As I say, he's been married for years, blah, 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 blah. Like in very important areas of life. He's not a commitment phobe at all. But yet when it's meeting up with friends, I have the opposite with one or two friends who...
For me, I often feel like I'm just being lied to, especially if they're consistently like it.
You're like,
I want to meet up with you.
Yes.
And I'm a bit like, no, you don't. Stop lying. Like,
well, I can understand why you... And I'm not talking you out of that feeling because... Again, it's poor behavior from the other person to do that. But for me, I think genuinely, those people, they do actually want to meet up with you. But they just, they say yes, yes, yes. It's a bit like, it's similar to what I think you were saying minutes earlier, Sarah, about they don't want to say no. They do want to hang out with you. And in an ideal world, they'd probably have 32 hours in the day and they'd be able to fit everybody in. And it's just not possible. And you have to be a bit disciplined.
Yeah.
And I think, and that goes back to the whole kind of independence thing that they don't like to be disciplined, or they don't like the thought of constraints and so on.
Mm.
And some people can be inconsiderate with that, others can be a bit more considerate, but ultimately put those feelings first.
But and also I would say there's a slight distinction to be made in that, like, I don't think he's scared specifically of maybe he is scared of commitment. He doesn't have a problem with committing. He's got no problem saying yes. But he's got the problem honouring the commitment.
Yes.
And that's my fear, is I don't ever want to be the person who doesn't honour the commitment.
Yeah.
So I'm just scared of the initial commitment.
Yeah, you don't want to get the reputation of like...
Oh,
oh,
it's
no.
not a good reputation to have, is it?
Would you would you have any friends who you'd call commitment phobes?
Yes.
Do you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Name them.
I'm not going to name them.
It's not me, is it?
No, not at all.
How does it play out with them?
It would be... you get a message saying, let's hang out. Okay, let's hang out.
So it would be in a similar area?
Yeah, but I could also see it playing out in their romantic relationships.
Go on.
Oh,
so
really?
It's not just friendships, it's also romantic relationships. And that's interesting to me. Is like, you can just see there's a root problem there that that plays out in different scenarios, yeah. and it bleeds into all areas of their life.
But have you ever? Because I'll be honest with you, I mean, I've not had many relationships in my life. Poor me. And in fact, no, Bollock's not poor at all. I'm a very happily married man. Up your society, relationship is sort of in that area. I never found commitment a problem, if I'm honest with you. And by the way, I should say that if we're saying that somebody can struggle with commitment in a relationship, not saying that necessarily you're a cheater or anything nasty. I mean, it might be better, but it's the idea of staying with someone for a while.
Yeah, I used to.
So when
I was much younger, when I was about 22, 23, I was engaged, and then that engagement broke down.
Okay.
And then after that, you start to self-protect, don't you? You put up walls, metaphorical walls. And so therefore you're a bit like, I don't want to let people in again in case I get that hurt.
I like how you clarified metaphorical walls.
Well, you never know.
Just building another wall.
You build a wall around
yourself. My dad is a builder. But, so you start to self-protect. So you keep people away because I don't want to let someone in so deep so that I get that hurt again. So you're biting your lip.
No, literally, as you're saying this, I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I've been there too.
Yeah,
really?
I think in the past, yeah, you know, I'd never even thought about that much. But I definitely, after having relationships which broke down and that sort of thing, found myself being like, I'm going to make sure I'm really, really sure about a person before I ever let them in like this again.
Yeah. And actually, what made it worse is that I wasn't fair to the people I would then date. And I would either date people that...
When you say you weren't fair, like you make them pay.
No.
Okay.
I was always, traditional. I think I would maybe even, kind of go on dates with people that I knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere because that was safer for me.
Right.
And that's not fair on them.
You had power then.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I guess, yeah, I had sort of self-preservation.
Yeah, because you go, well, I don't even like that much anyway.
But when you say you had the power, it makes Chris look like he's some evil genius hands together.
That's what I had to equate it.
I don't mean it that manipulatively, but in terms of like, well, I know I don't like you that much, so you can't hurt me that much.
Yeah, or maybe I thought maybe this could go somewhere, but probably not. But therefore... I'm still safe here. But actually, that other person has been massively stitched up because if they started to fall for my charms, then they're going to get hurt. Mm. And that's really unfair.
No, I think that's... Was it your granddad who said something quite poignant to you?
Yes, he did. Yeah, I was dating a girl.
You mentioned this on the pod, I think, a while ago, but it's always worth bringing up.
He just said, do you see yourself? He said, marrying them. But if you're not into marriage, then long-term relationship. And I said, no.
This was after a while. This was not after the second date, we should say.
3.5 years, I think.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And he said, you're being really unfair because you're stopping them being with someone else.
Yeah.
And that made me go, I thought I was being nice, but I was not being kind at all.
That's actually been cruel in a way.
Very cruel, actually. If you don't think you want to be with them, but you're just with them because you...
to pass the time.
Exactly. You want the company.
Yeah.
Then you're stopping them being with someone who could make them far happier. Mm. So it's selfish. So yeah, so I've definitely had commitment issues, and then I had to face myself, really, I guess, and start to think, do I want to be like this? I didn't. That was the truth. You start to act in a way... where you don't, I mentally didn't want to be the person I was becoming.
Yeah.
And then you have to choose to face that.
One of the big reasons for lack of commitment that's cited in any sort of study or research about this, especially with romantic relationships, is wondering if there's something better out there.
Yeah.
That's such a huge... I think that goes with a lot of things, actually. It's about keeping your options open, whether it would be jobs or even a night out with your mates and so on. But in with the romantic relationships, it's definitely there. But do you think that's linked to a fear of missing out?
Ooh. Yeah, it could be. Because, well, it's kind of... Like you said, right, okay, I'm going to commit to this plan on Friday with my mate Bob.
Yes.
I'll never
seems highly unlikely now, you know what Bob stands for. That doesn't go for every Bob in the land, of course.
But then, like, it turns out someone else who maybe you get on better with is saying, like, oh, like, well, I'm having a party and you've committed to doing the other thing, and unless you are Bob, you're stuck and you are going to miss out.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it is FOMO.
Yeah, I think FOMO is a big thing these days.
But the problem with that is that you're looking this is going a bit deeper, getting philosophical, but you're looking for external cues.
We're here for you.
These external cues or events or activities or people to make me satisfied or happy or complete. And so actually, I think what would make me more satisfied, happy and complete is to be the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. So, and that would be a good friend and a loyal friend and someone who's committed and reliable and steady. that would probably eventually make you better. And when it comes to dating, I had a very good phrase, and you know, like my one-liners.
You
don't,
love it.
Don't look for the one, become the one. So actually become the person that people marry do want yourself. To be with. Yeah, you could. Yeah, yeah, sure. In some states, you could do that. So, but it was that really helped
some
me.
I commit to myself.
Having a subtle dig at some of our American brothers and sisters.
There are some strange bylaws.
Yeah, right.
Not legally, but
so I think for me that helped me to then start to go, I need to work on myself. Actually, that, you know, my inner world will probably bring me more enjoyment and peace, and actually therefore I don't mind missing out nowadays. Yeah. But I definitely would have suffered with FOMO before.
Yeah, I think that idea though, which I said in the intro, that whenever you commit to anything, somebody said this to me and I never really thought about this a number of years ago. Whenever you commit to anything, you immediately narrow your options somewhat. Obviously, in a small way or a large way. And I thought that is very, very interesting indeed. Doing a bit of research on this topic, a relationship expert. How you become one of them, I don't know. But
have loads of them.
Yeah. Or none of them, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Or just...
Remain objective by just not engaging.
Would you want to see someone's CV?
Yeah, I want to know their dating history.
Would you?
Yeah. Because if they're like, I'm actually on my 7th divorce now, I'd be like, I'm not sure I trust you.
But then truth, no matter who is selling it, who's saying it. But yes, this relationship expert said, on the type of behaviour about you, fear of sort of missing out, as we said, and wondering if there's something better out there. Somebody might feel that committing to a perfectly fine partner will limit their chances for someone better. Finding someone better they haven't met yet. Now, I find that quite sort of baffling. In that, well, I don't know. They might the idea there's something better, but I do get that you shouldn't settle for. Well, you just shouldn't settle, especially in the area of relationships. So it's this tension, isn't there?
It's interesting because it's technically true, right?
Yes.
You know, if you decide to marry someone, uh-huh. you're saying, right, you're the person for me. And someone might come along that you're better suited to. But I suppose you've made the commitment then. Mm. And it's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one.
That's
what about people who...
I was going to make a Brexit analogy, but I'm not going
to. I mean, to be fair, those who wanted it are very committed to it. You can't. You
they
can't
are not commitment
question
folks.
The yeah. commitment of those who are driving the Brexit agenda, and that is actually interesting. Making a committed person. If someone is described as committed, it's usually a compliment.
Yes.
Unless, of course, a very specific example, perhaps that previous one there. But no, do you know what I mean? It's a very Take football, for example. If a player is
described... Here we are again.
Yeah, again, Sarah. you got into this mess with us, okay? You knew... You saw my CV before you signed up for this podcast. If a footballer is described as committed, it's not a bad thing.
Unless
he was committed to a foul or something. But I'm talking generally speaking.
No, but there'll be certain footballers that maybe... Matthew Letizia being a good example. He stayed at a club which was probably smaller than his... ability, and that people might say, "Oh, he never fulfilled his potential because he should have gone to a bigger, better club and done more."
Yeah,
so not always.
But fans of that club would say, "Well, he was committed to the club."
Well, that's why they called him God.
Yeah, well, there you go. So it was a popular decision among a small amount of people, certainly.
Speaking of football, to be fair,
oh yes,
here we go.
I was chatting with one of the leaders of our church.
No way.
The other day, yeah, I know. It's. I approached the altar.
How did you get a meeting? They never answer my emails.
I'm an elder.
Up your tithe.
I'm an elder.
Angry of Putney here.
I don't even know why we got onto it, but he was saying to me, I like football.
Oh, yeah.
Love watching football,
of course he
playing
does.
Football.
Mm. Listening to podcasts.
But I don't support a specific team. And I was like, oh, how does that work? And he said, I just can't. I can't do it.
Can't
I've
commit.
Seen the agony that people go through. Mm-hmm. Our vicar, who's an Arsenal supporter, he said, I've watched him suffer.
He's been in agony for years.
I can't go through that kind of pain, so I just stay out of it and I just
That's
enjoy it objectively. And I was like,
I don't know if you can enjoy it to the depths. And or the heights.
You don't get the high highs.
You don't.
And the
But that's what
because
I've done.
When your team do well, that's an incredible feeling.
It's true.
But
well,
you'll
essentially,
never get that.
I mean, that's really what happened to me for years. I didn't really have a team. And even now, Sporting Fulham, it's a soft option.
It's a geography thing,
you know.
Isn't
although
it?
Yeah, is it just a geography thing?
I think that's usually, well, maybe not nowadays, but certainly back in the day, how people would pick their football teams. But
hence why I'm a Blackburn fan.
Yeah, right enough. Yeah, but I do think that I was perfectly fine not supporting a side for many, many years, because I always had old England to disappoint me. But I think that you do miss out on a little something, but you don't get the lows. Maybe you don't get the highs, but you don't get the lows. And let's be honest, for most football fans, it is lows.
Mainly yes. lows.
Unless you support the teams who do very well, and then suddenly success becomes normalised and you expect, and that's a bad idea as well.
But this is, I guess, you know, it can be applied to all the kinds of commitment then, can't it? In that, like, you might have, you know, especially things like romantic relationships, you get these soaring highs, but you can also have the crashing lows.
Yes.
And if you commit, you're opening yourself up to that. Yeah. In making yourself vulnerable, you know, and committing to someone.
But back to kind of Marcus, when he was saying about if somebody is deemed as committed or, you know, you would respect them more, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Actually, even on that, if someone changes their football teams, I have no respect for them.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just like, no, you stick. I mean, like, my team were good 20-odd years ago, 25 years ago, and they've been relegated numerous times. Yeah. But I can't. My dad was like, you cannot change.
Mm.
Like, you've got to stick with them through everything.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Like, if people now change their teams, I'm just like, well, you're not a proper fan.
Well, yeah, and nor should they claim to be.
Yes.
Yeah, as I say, not all commitment is good, of course. I mean, people who try to avoid commitment in any kind of area of life and just hate being emotionally invested in anything, they tend to be quite tiresome and annoying people.
Selfish.
Well, mate, probably. People who, again, I'd have one or two mates, who... I'm just not bothered. I just don't want to commit to anything. And they think they're winning.
Mm.
They think that's how you get through life to being... It's almost like
they're not going
to
get hurt, are they?
Yeah, they're almost like a dysfunctional Buddhist in that sense. Because Buddhism... Well, Buddhism is about...
about everything.
Well, no, Buddhism... I mean, essentially, it's sort of atheist at heart. But Buddhism's about not having any commitment to other human beings. It's... I suppose the premise of Buddhism is that the connection with human beings creates a need that is unhealthy and needs to be avoided. So admit that. So they are committing to that. So as I say, hence it's a dysfunction or a perversion of it, if you see what I mean. Mm. I mean, I don't agree with the full-blown thing, obviously, because I think that's mad to try and avoid connection with human beings.
Yeah.
But people who, try and avoid everything, and it's that kind of I'm not bothered.
But we've said it before, like, we're wired
It drives me up the wall.
Everything about humanity, we don't need any more research into attachment theory, into all those things. We're wired... from the moment we're born, to be in relationships with people, relationships where you need stuff.
And that can play out in various ways. It doesn't mean to say everyone has to be, you know,
you don't have to be hugely emotionally invested in. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, people can be overly emotional about things.
You can overcommit.
Again, draining and annoying.
Yeah.
Well, someone who overcommits to a relationship where you're saying, leave them, or this is not for you, or you have settled, or something like that, you know. Yeah. Fair. There is something better out there, you know. As I say, this is not all one size fits all.
I can definitely think of a mate of mine who kind of anything you say, oh, you know, did that must have, you know, bothered you when that thing happened, everything's going and I just think, do you actually not care, or is it just that you aren't in any way invested in anything?
You just go through life like Spock, emotionless, and like
just a bit sort of like meh.
You become a robot, essentially. I do get that, to be easy breezy, relaxed, all that kind of stuff, but that's different, though.
We're not saying don't be like chilled, just like don't be completely detached from absolutely
everything. Don't be emotionally unavailable.
So making a commitment can lead to a change of attitude, can't it? So if I think sometimes when you see somebody who might be stuck in a rut, as we say, and maybe say career-wise they're sort of floundering, maybe not doing what they want to do, if they go, right, I'm going to commit to studying this or going after this and so on, you often think, good on you. You know, because actually, if you then decide... actually, that's not for me. Well, you've given it a good go. You've found out. You've really tried. So committing to something actually is often a way of trying to figure out what you're doing or who you want to be with, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because you get more of an idea of what that thing involves, don't you? Mm. And then if you do leave it after a while, then that's fine, because you've, as you said, you've given it a go, but you've also learned a lot more, maybe about the thing or yourself at least.
Mm.
So,
absolutely.
Do you think there's an issue of an inability to say no in this as well? So people don't commit because they're like...
That's what Sarah was saying.
That's kind of what I...
So you don't want to say no.
Yeah. Because
you don't want to be seen as a bad person or...
Oh, you know, there's a huge element of that. Is that, like, I don't want to disappoint people. and by saying, and I realize as you know, I'm saying this, it's very clearly flawed.
And so would you feel guilty then as well? Like, oh, I've ruined their plans? Or?
Well, no, if I say, they said, do you want to do this? And I actually said, not really. That's, they're going to be disappointed and that's going to upset them. And I really don't want to do that. Mm. So I'll, for ages, just be like, maybe, maybe.
And you don't want to lie either, do you?
I hate, I don't want to lie either.
I don't want to lie, so I can't say.
So I get myself in this stupid position of being like, me.
Is that the case with your closest friends as well? Or with your closest friends, are you able to do
it's
that?
It's worse with my closest friends, because I really don't want to let them down. Whereas, like, if someone I don't really know asked me to, you know, I don't know, go for coffee, and I was, like, really, really busy, I'd just say, you know what, actually, I've got a lot on at the moment. Maybe we can check in a few months' time. That doesn't bother me. But it's like with people I'm close with, I'm like, I love you and I do want to hang out with you, but I really know I can't right now, but I don't know how to say it.
Why don't you just say that?
Maybe I should start.
That would be great.
I was going to say.
I'm very much saying that my way of doing it is not the right way, and I'm acknowledging
that. This is what this whole podcast is about, isn't it?
It's actually an intervention for me.
It's self-help for the three of us.
We've had a few interventions for me, haven't we?
Most weeks.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Yeah, there we are. And it's a great note to perhaps finish on, unless, Sarah, you wanted to redeem yourself.
Can I just say one final thing?
Yep.
I do think that people always say that women want commitment and men don't when it comes to romantic relationships. Mm. And I think that's nonsense, and I'd like us all to forget it.
All agreed.
Excellent.
I don't know if I can commit to forgetting that.
I'll commit to seeing you next time.
Okay.
You bloody appreciate man. there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to find us on social media, we're on Insta and Twitter at AQQAPod. Do give us a lovely review on iTunes as well. Thank you very much, Chris.
Cheerio.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.